Our life expectancy has gotten a lot longer over the last century or so. As our next guests write, a 5-year-old in 1900 could look forward to another 55 years or so. That same 5-year-old in the mid-1990s was looking at another 70-plus years.
And we're not just living longer, we're working longer, too. And that's leading to big changes in the workplace and in our personal lives. In their new book, our guests say we need to start dealing with these changes as individuals and as a society.
Rosalind Barnett is a senior scientist at the Women's Studies Research Center at Brandeis University, and Carol Rivers is professor of journalism at Boston University. They're the co-authors of the new book, The Age of Longevity, Reimagining Tomorrow for Our New Long Lives. Carol, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Rosalind, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, Carol, let's have you start us off with the basics. We're living longer, we're staying healthy later in life. Spell out how these changes are working.
Well, we actually have a new stage of life, which we call late adulthood, and that's roughly from 55 to 80 plus. And that was a time when, for example, the psychologist Eric Erskine said that at 65, your creative days are over and you have to sum up and face death. And what we now know is that sounds very archaic, that people who are in their 70s and 80s are, for example, running for president. Both our presidential candidates are in late adulthood. So we really have to start changing about the way we think of our lives, because we are, many of us, going to live to ages which were unthought of in the past.
And Rosalind, in the book and in pieces that have been in papers lately, you point out research that says these older workers are actually, in many ways, very good, effective, creative workers.
I know, it sounds surprising, because we our sort of cultural myth is that old workers are dotty and lazy and kind of just hang on. But in fact, they turn out to be very stable and productive. And part of the stability has to do with they have fewer ups and downs in their lives at that stage in life. They've been around the racetrack a couple of times. They're not unnerved and upended by crises. So the performance is consistent. Their cognitive skills stay fresh. So we have really very outdated ideas that we have to correct, because if we don't do that, a lot of people are going to be shortchanging themselves. If you don't have an expectation of what your life can be in your 70s and 80s, then you don't have anything to go for. So a lot of people give up and don't think that there's a future for them. But that's not the case, and our book is hopefully going to change all that.
And Carol,
it was stunning that a 2010 study found that younger workers were less stable and less consistent than the older workers. And people would have thought that it would be the reverse, but it wasn't. The older workers didn't panic if there was a problem. They knew they had many, many skills of how to get around problems and issues. They had a lot of things that the younger workers didn't offer, and that was a real stunner.
One thing that people might have reservations about is all the quickly changing technology. There's even a generation gap between, you know, millennials and Generation X on that. What did you find as you looked into this, Rosalind?
Well, for one thing, the fact that someone doesn't know a technology doesn't mean they can't learn it. So a lot of older people may not have had a need to learn some new piece of software, but that doesn't mean they can't learn it. So if you just judge someone's ability by what they're doing right now, you miss the boat. And we find that the people that we surveyed, older workers, are very savvy. They're online a lot. And they can be taught new things because they have an interest in learning them. So I think that we have to broaden our horizons a little bit and don't write people off. And it's also true that we now have a multi-generational workforce. In fact, there are 4 generations now in the workforce. And having age diversity is an important thing that will defeat ageist attitudes. And people can learn from one another. Younger workers can learn about the institutional memory that older workers have and about strategies for succeeding. And younger and older workers can learn new software and new technological skills that they might not have had a chance to learn earlier on. So you have a very rich environment for people to break through myths and to form very meaningful generational relationships.
We're talking to Carol Rivers and Rosalind Barnett. They're the authors of the new book, The Age of Longevity. We're looking at the fact that we're living longer, working longer, what that means for our society. And let's zoom out a little bit, Carol, and look at what this all means. We've got this big, huge change, it sounds like, in who is showing up at work every day. Are we ready for it? Are we thinking about what that means for what a workplace looks like, for how our society is set up?
Unfortunately, we're not, because there's so much ageism out there. And we are also thinking that there's a war, you know, that the greedy geezers are going to grab up all the resources. But what research finds is that it's really a phony war. It's like back in the days when we said when women moved into the workforce, you know, families were going to splinter, men were going to lose their jobs. And in fact, you know, as more women moved into the workforce, there were more jobs for men. And we're seeing the same thing as older workers move into the workforce, that correlates with more jobs for younger workers. And why? Probably because if you have more older workers that are on the job, you know, they're buying things, they're contributing to the economy. They're not just gobbling up resources, they're contributing. So it's a win-win for both young and old.
And Rosalind, this is sort of a virtue out of necessity, too, because as we've got a growing population of older people, the following generations, it sounds like, are smaller. We have fewer younger workers coming into the market, so we need to tap into the creativity and productivity of older workers.
That's exactly right, and I think forward-looking employers will understand that. So they really need to create a different kind of culture within their companies, a culture that's more open to having an age-diverse workforce. Another point that follows with what Carol was saying, that the typical picture we have of older workers does not include the fact that older workers are job creators, that there are many entrepreneurs that are older. We tend to think of entrepreneurs as, you know, young kids who are in their 20s and working out in their garage and dreaming of some great new thing, when in fact many more entrepreneurs are older than younger, and so they are being productive, creative members of our workforce and bringing people into the workforce in a way that we didn't imagine before.
Now, one spillover change from this idea that, hey, we're planning for longer lives than we used to. You know, a pop culture staple might have been that person in their 30s who wasn't married yet, didn't know what their career was going to be. They're running late on everything. Now, with more time to work with, it sounds like you're saying, in a way, what's the rush? Take your time. You've got a lot of stages yet to go. Carol?
It used to be that, you know, parents would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? What thing do you want to do? And now parents may ask, what two or three things do you want to do? Because typically, young people now may have two or three careers, and they may, say, at age 55, start on a completely new issue. We talked to a man who left a management job at 65 and decided to become a farmer, and is very successful at it. So we're going to see that the trajectory of people's lives is going to be different, more varied.
And Rosalind, what does that mean in terms of useful skills for younger people to have to prepare for that? Are we needing to think more about adaptability, resilience?
Well, that's probably a good question. I think people, guidance counselors and teachers and parents need to be thinking about this. Maybe of an openness, that you don't have to be locked in to think, well, you know, you've made this choice and you don't like it, tough, you know, you're stuck with it. That there's more flexibility, there are more opportunities now also for older people to go back to get education, to get retrained. Many new programs are being designed particularly for older people at low cost or no cost. So the idea that you don't have to just tough it out if you make a choice that doesn't seem to be working for you.
And Carol, you are not all optimistic about these changes. One thing you point out is that inequalities we see among people aged 0 to 65 don't magically disappear after what used to be the retirement age. Can you talk about how income disparities, racial disparities are part of this story?
Yeah, that's one of our big worries, is that we're going to have this new age. It's going to be wonderful for people who are affluent and educated and not poor, but extremely different and sad fate for people who are poor, who are not well, who haven't gotten educated. And we've just seen recently that there's been a dropping in life expectancy for particularly for blue-collar workers. And so if we don't tackle the inequality issue, then we're going to have the same problems, you know, as we grow older, that we're now seeing and we're talking about in this election cycle in the workforce. This, you know, the 1% gets and the rest does not. And that, with all this good news, that's the real problem.
We're talking about aging, quality of life, and the changing American workforce as more of us live longer and work longer.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you or is someone in your family working well past the old retirement age? And are you planning to? Are you seeing more older workers at your workplace? And how are the various generations getting along there? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about aging in America. Our guests say we're living longer, we're working longer, and we need to make some changes to reflect that new reality. Carol Rivers and Rosalind Barnett are with us. They're the authors of the new book, The Age of Longevity, Reimagining Tomorrow for Our New Long Lives.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you working past what used to be retirement age? If so, is it because you want to, you have to, or a little of both? Do you work in a multi-generational workplace? How do people from different age groups work together? And if you hire people, are you seeing more value or a different kind of value in older workers? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Jane is on the line in Racine. Jane, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because what I'm seeing is a tremendous problem with ageism. You see a lot of elders at, for example, Walmart, fast food places, who have a lot of skills, and nobody wants to hire them because they're either over 55, over 60. I have a very good friend who went for an interview, an IT job, and he had been looking, and every interview he went to, they disregarded him. And he went to a place in Madison. The job was a perfect fit, a perfect fit. And they wouldn't hire him. So until employers start recognizing all the things that your guests are talking about, you know, we're going to have a lot of very, very poor, unhappy elders out there, people who need money, but they can't get a decent job because nobody will look at them.
Jane, thanks a lot for that call. And we've done segments on this show on the difficulties faced by older people in the job market, not getting, once the employer sees their age, maybe they don't want to take a chance on an older worker. Rosalind, what's it going to change, maybe legally and culturally, to change that?
Well, one thing is the idea that you don't want to hire older workers because they're costly. You know, health costs, and it's going to go out of hand, and the company is going to be in trouble. But the new data is suggesting that's not the case, that younger workers are not cheap workers. The younger workers have young families. Young families have children, and they get sick. So the fact older workers are less expensive overall than younger workers. And that's the piece of information that would be very important to get to employers. They need to know that, because that is a roadblock. It's a mistake, and I believe, but it's there. So it's education, it's some forward-thinking CEOs who will create a program within it for their company to combat these ideas, to bring speakers in, to, you know, have a change of culture at the workplace. That's where it has to happen, because you're right, these attitudes are very subtle. Most people won't admit to them, but they're there, and it can be worked on, it can be addressed, and it needs to happen.
And Carol, I don't know if you... Go ahead.
I was saying, when we need the media to stop treating people who do something wonderful at age 78, for example, as some kind of outlier, because we're seeing more and more and more people being creative and active, and yet it is just the ageism is so hard to dent because it's so deeply ingrained. We have to keep, you know, saying it over and over and over again. Look, things have changed. It's not your granddad's world.
And Carol, in the book, you point out some people, not even in the recent era, a lot of people historically who have created their great novel or music or you name it, you know, well past age 40 or 50 or even 60.
Yes, we take a lot of people. that are creating well into what would be considered the retirement years. You look at Toni Morrison, for example, who's, I think, 85, has just written, you know, another brilliant novel. You have Ruth Bader Ginsburg in her 80s, who is, you know, one of the most outspoken and brilliant people on the court. And you see more and more and more of this. So the idea that creativity ends, you know, somewhere in the 40s, we're just seeing great many examples that that's just not true.
Let's go back to our callers. Ryan is on the line in Waukesha. Ryan, hi.
Good afternoon.
What do you want to bring up, Ryan?
Well, I just wanted to make the point that, as previous callers have, about the difficulty of an older worker getting a job, but I've observed just the opposite, and that is getting rid of the older worker while they're still on the job. The unspoken, we want the younger person, and it's economic, and it's probably some cultural things in there too. But the pressure of older workers to leave when they're not really wanting to do that.
Ryan, thanks for that call. Yeah, we see this in the journalism industry often, Carol. If we can buy out that person older, making lots of money, and bring on a much younger person who we can pay a lot less, probably not just in journalism. Is this a common problem?
Yes, and I see, for example, in journalism, it's about the money, because I've seen really brilliant, experienced people being replaced by much younger journalists who, you know, don't know a lot in some cases and are much less sophisticated. And so I think overall the quality suffers, but it's really easy to do sort of the quick and dirty thing because it costs you less.
Talking about the new book, The Age of Longevity, the authors Carol Rivers and Rosalind Barnett are with us. We're living longer. We're working longer. We have to change some things, they say. Before we go back to our callers, Rosalind, we mentioned discrepancies by income. Are there different standards applied to men and women as we age? I think you point toward the acting profession as one where there's definitely a difference. But how about the rest of the world, Rosalind?
Well, it depends what level you're at. I think in general, women have had a harder time in a variety of occupations. At a certain level, though, you know, the stars are the stars. I mean, Toni Morrison is not going to have trouble getting her next novel published. But going down where most of us live, women have a harder time. And that's very true. Also, women tend to live longer than men. So money and how to afford a long retirement or long period of years is a huge problem. In fact, some recent data show that people are more afraid of running out of money than they are afraid of death. And this is a big problem for women. For one thing, they tend to earn less in their working lives. They also tended to take out time to rear their children, and that's cost them in the workplace in terms of seniority. So they end up with less money for retirement and very many expenses. It's all a new phenomenon now, is that the grandparents are largely responsible for the education and welfare of their grandchildren. And why is that? Because the adult children, have suffered greatly during the Great Recession. They lost their jobs, many lost their homes, they're in debt. So the grandparents often pick up the burden of the rearing the grandchildren, which adds to the other concerns that older women have. They have to support themselves and take care of themselves, but they also have this other burden they didn't have before. So I think that the women face a steeper road to climb.
Let's go back to our callers with Chris on the line in Wisconsin Dells. Chris, hi.
Good afternoon. My almost 94-year-old father was a stonemason, and a really good one. He used to split his own fieldstone, build houses from the ground up, which is a creative profession in itself. But he retired and he was bored. And so he started making these little birch reindeer Christmas decorations out of birch wood. And they're kind of hulky, but they're fun. And he does that for fun. He's working with wood, which is always a good thing. And I wanted to, he fired three artists, unfortunately. All of his children are art people. We're all underemployed. And I want to put a plug in for people going to the theater, go to the ballet, go buy some paintings for people for Christmas, or calendars that are hand-painted or something, because we are all living on the verge of society. Anyway.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call. Plug for Wisconsin's creative economy there. But also, she brings up a point, Roslyn, that you talk about in the book. Some people are working after normal retirement age because they have to. Some because they want to. They find fulfillment, often a little of both. Can you talk about that side of it, though, the not wanting to just be a retiree, wanting to keep doing stuff?
Well, in our culture, work is a major part of one's identity. I mean, what do you do? It becomes really important. It's a question people, and they ask the question, how are you, or what's going on? They're really talking about your work life. So if you don't have a work identity anymore, then you're really kind of a loose end, needing structure, because you know that maybe other cultures wouldn't be so much like this, but our culture is. So the absence of having colleagues, a social environment, a place to go to, goals and so forth, really hits hard. And we have a lot of years to think about filling that way. You know, it's one thing if you were 65 and you expect to live a few more years. It's another thing when you're 65 and you may live 20 more years or 25 more years. That's a long period of time. And a lot of people are searching. And I think one of the things that's coming up are these institutes for older learners. Most universities now have them. And the tuition often is either free or very low cost. So I think seniors want to have something to be engaged with, to connect with each other around something other than sitting around and gossiping. So there are things that are happening, not enough, and many people don't know about them, but certainly it's a challenge for society going forward.
We'll leave it there. Rosalind, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity.
And Carol, thanks to you as well.
I'm delighted. Thank you.
We've been talking to Roslyn Barnett and Carol Rivers. Their new book is called The Age of Longevity, Reimagining Tomorrow for Our New Long Lives, looking at the way our longer lifespans, our longer work spans are changing our lives and our society, our economy as a whole. You can still share your experiences if you are one of these people who's staying in the workforce longer. We'd love to see your story. You can share it over at the Central Time Facebook page. Are you working longer? Why? Because you have to, because you want to, or a little bit of both. Also, while you're there, we've got a link to an excerpt from their book. Again, that's all at the Central Time Facebook page.